It's good to be here and to have the privilege to follow Brother Branyan and the lesson that he presented, and hopefully to build upon it as we continue to talk about championing Christ, called unto conviction. And as it was mentioned in the prayer, the great need for commitment to Christ. I believe this is one of the greatest needs in the Lord's church in the 21st century, or in any century. And that is, we need people who are committed to Christ. If we had people that were committed to Christ, a lot of the problems that we face in the local congregations would go away, because people would be putting the Lord first in their lives and living in such a way that each one of us could have a home in heaven. The challenge set before us this evening is a comparison of Christianity and the world's religions. There are many people today who believe that all religions originated with God. And even though there are different and contradictory parts of these religions, we can pick and choose the best of each one and leave the rest alone. And while we're doing that, we want to make sure that we don't criticize any of the practices of any of the religious groups in the world. What does the Bible say about this idea? The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. And in order to be pleasing to Him, we must follow His instructions. As Joshua said in the long ago, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now this phrase from John 14, 6, the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," you see that a lot on billboards in our country. When you're driving down the road, you'll see the phrase. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But they don't have the second part. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We're emphasizing tonight that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is by following the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, it is granted, of course, that there is some good in all religions. If a religion did not have anything good about it, then there would not be anyone who would be willing to accept its teachings. Many have embraced various religions because they say they have rejected Christianity. The fact is, most of them have never been exposed to New Testament Christianity. They've seen Catholicism, they've seen Protestant denominationalism, but they have never seen New Testament Christianity. What they have rejected is some sort of adulterated Christianity in the form of denominationalism. And so what we're preaching in 2011 is a pre-denominational church, a church that came into existence before any denomination ever existed. We also, of course, need to recognize and remember that there are people who will examine New Testament Christianity and then will still reject it because they want to do what they want to do according to their own thinking. Many people in our world today are interested in spiritual things, but they are not interested in the truth. On the Truth of the World website, we had a number of tracks. I worked with Truth of the World for 18 years. We had 67 titles of tracks, and those tracks are still on the Truth of the World website. The number one tract read by people around the world was on the topic of Buddhism. People wanted to read about Buddhism. Once they got to that tract, they weren't very happy about it because it was not a proponent of Buddhism, but a refutation of Buddhism. And they didn't like that much. I have in my files, electronic files, as well as in my paper files, a couple of dozen responses to that tract on Buddhism. Yes, I wrote it, you see. So I get the responses. Some of them I had to throw away because of the foul language that was in the responses. But here's the number one read tract on the website because people are interested in spiritual things. You know what the least read tract was on our website? What must I do to be saved? That's the least interesting topic that people wanted to look at. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Peter preached in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." These passages emphasize the only way to be saved, to be saved from our sins, to be saved for heaven, is through Jesus Christ. If the only way to heaven is through Christ and his teachings, what place do other religions have in God's eternal plan? Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Verse 21 continuing, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." To understand the place that other religions have in God's eternal plan, we need to look what God's eternal plan was for saving man. From before the creation of the universe, God had already planned to establish the church. The Bible is God's book telling us of his will. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, both inspired writers from God, spoke of God's plan. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and let us read together verses 8 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, Paul tells us, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. And then we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Peter says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." When did God plan these things? Before the foundation of the world. Before the creation. God's eternal plan, his eternal purpose, was to bring Christ into the world so that we might have the opportunity to be saved from our sins and to be saved from heaven. And so when Jesus came to this earth and made the statement, as we read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or the gates of Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Jesus knew this was part of God's eternal plan. It was never in God's plan to establish hundreds and thousands of different religions in the world. It was never in God's plan to establish thousands upon thousands of denominations that currently exist in the world. The plan was always to establish one church, and that all believers were to be part of that one church. The Bible emphasizes unity, not division. Jesus prayed for unity in John 17, 20 through 21. He prayed that everyone that believed in him might be one in Christ and God, that they might be united. Paul urged unity in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where he urged the church at Corinth that they all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. These are words of unity. In Ephesians 4, 3 through 6, Paul says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." These are words of unity, not division. We will be judged by the words of Christ, John 12 and verse 48. And so when we read what the New Testament says concerning Jesus making the promise, "I will build my church." Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Even someone who has a lousy grammar understands "my church." We understand that church is in the singular. Now in the Chinese, it's not as easy. In Chinese, nouns don't have a singular and plural nature in the noun. You know, if we say church in English, that's a singular noun. Churches is the plural noun. But in Chinese, the word for church, jiao hui, it's just a noun. You don't know if it's singular or plural. But in Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus says, "Well, hai yao su ni, ni shir bi da, wo yao ba wo da, jiao hui," there's the word for church. "Wo yao ba wo da, jiao hui, jian zao zai jia pan shi shang, yin jian de qian bing, bu neng sheng guo ta." That last character is the word that we would say "it." And that is a singular pronoun. A singular pronoun. So what you have to do in the Chinese, you have to connect the pronoun with the noun to see if it's singular or plural. And so in Matthew 16, 18, the pronoun referring to the church in Matthew 16, 18 is a singular pronoun. So even in Chinese, we can make it clear. Jesus promised to build one church. Paul tells us that Christ is the head of the body, and the body is the church. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Well, Paul uses a normal illustration to show the relationship between Christ, the head, and the church, his body. A normal body just has one head. A normal head just has one body. And Paul says that's the relationship between Christ and the church. Well, how important is this one body? Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:23 that Christ is the Savior of the body. The body is the church. The Savior in the body. How important is it that we are in the body, the one body, which is his church? It's very important because salvation is in Christ. It is in his body. And so God promised Abraham in the long ago, in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that through his seed, all families or all nations of the earth would be blessed. And Paul, through inspiration, tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 through 29, that this seed that God talks about to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, that seed is Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 16. And so from the Garden of Eden into Mount Sinai, God revealed his will through the heads of families. Even after the law of Moses was given at Mount Sinai to the Jews only, the Gentiles continued to obey the laws given under the patriarchal age. This was all part of God's plan to bring Christ into the world to save all people from their sins. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1 and verse 21. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Both the patriarchal and Mosaic laws ended at the cross, nailed to the cross, so that Jew and Gentile that were separated by the law of commandments, Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2, might be reconciled in one body by the cross. And what's that body? It's the church that Jesus died for, that Jesus died for on the cross. Since the church began, every person on this earth, both Jew and Gentile, have been subject to the law of Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew 17 and verse 5. All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28 verses 18 and 19. Yes, Christ has a law today. Galatians 6 and verse 2, the law of Christ. It is the perfect law of liberty. James 1 and verse 25. And God wants everybody in the world to be saved. There are now almost 7 billion people living on the face of this earth. God wants every one of those individuals to be saved. That's why he sent his only begotten Son in the world, so that we might have the opportunity to be saved. And at judgment, in order to be able to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we must obey the gospel of Christ. Well, when we understand God's eternal purpose, it helps to see that his plan was to save all people through his Son and through the church, which is his body. Well, in the meantime, there are thousands of different religions that exist in the world. These other religions that exist in the world did not come from God. After God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, people were scattered all over the world. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. As they scattered, Many began to go away from God. And we read about that in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Many religions came into existence before the church began. And so some will point to this fact and say that these religions are older than the church. Therefore, since they're older than the church, they have a more legitimate reason to exist. But we need to remember that the church was the eternal purpose of God, planned before the foundation of the world. And God's plan was in operation from Genesis chapter 3 down to the time that Christ died on the cross for us. Even though the church may have begun after many other religions, it was not new. Therefore, it matters not whether we're talking about religions that came into existence before Christ came to the earth or religions that came into existence out of a perversion and misuse of Bible teaching. They are the product of man, not God. Therefore, God does not recognize nor approve of them. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Jesus asked those Pharisees, the baptism of John, is it from God or from man? They didn't want to answer that question. Because they said if it's from God, he would ask them, well, why didn't you obey it? And if they said it's from man, they feared the people. In Acts 17, 23, the Athenians worshipped an unknown God. They wanted to make sure they got everybody covered in their worship. And so Paul took advantage of the opportunity to preach the one true and living God unto them. Where did the other religions in this world come from? They came from man. They are man-made religions. The church that Jesus built is not a man-made religion. It is a God-made religion. And it is the one that we are to be a part of in order to have the hope of eternal life. Well, then we talk about the freedom to choose and bring that into our discussion this evening. These hundreds and thousands of different religious beliefs that exist in the world are allowed to exist because when God created humanity, He gave us the freedom of choice, the freedom to choose. And after God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden, providing for their needs. He also gave them commands that they were to follow, but He didn't force them to obey those commands. He gave them the freedom to make the choice between obeying or disobeying. And the Bible records the entrance of sin into the world as a result. In Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Now that's where a lot of religious people like to stop when they're reading Romans 5 and verse 12. But we need to read the rest of it. For that, all have sinned. Sin entered into the world. But we sin in the 21st century. Or we're in sin because we have violated God's will. And so from then until now, God does not force people to obey His will. People will ask the question, if God is all powerful, why does evil exist? This is a question that atheists will ask of the people that believe in God. If God's all powerful, and He is, why does evil exist? Why would God, for example, allow Hitler to murder millions of Jews during the 30s and 40s of the 20th century? Why would He allow the Japanese army to march into the city of Nanjing, China in 1937 and kill approximately 300,000 men, women, and children? Or why would an all-powerful God allow a government to literally starve millions and millions of people in the 1950s and the 1960s? Well, it's a legitimate question. If God is all-powerful, why does evil exist? The answer, of course, is because of the freedom to choose. This explains why evil exists in the world. This also explains why there are so many different religions in the world today. Well, let's make some applications in our lesson this evening. In other lessons in this lectureship, there will be evidence given proving that the Bible is the Word of God and Christ is the Son of God. I was thinking when Branyan was presenting his excellent lesson concerning people who do not believe in God. They do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They know that they can prove the length of a solar day scientifically, about 24 hours in a day, because it takes the Earth about 24 hours to rotate one time to have a solar day. And they can scientifically prove a lunar month, about 30 days. It takes about 30 days for the moon to go around the Earth one time. And a solar year, 365 days approximately, for the Earth to travel around the sun one time, that can be proved scientifically. But when was the last time you said, when are you coming over to my house? Let's see, I'm coming over 3 moons from now. That's when I'll be over. Is that what you say? I'll be over 3 moons from now. No, we don't say that, do we? What do we say? I'll be over next week. A week has 7 days in it. Where in science do we prove a 7-day week? Science doesn't deal with a 7-day week. There's only one place we read about a 7-day week. Start right out in the first chapter of Genesis, and you read about a 7-day week. And you can go to communist China. You can go to any country in the world. And guess what? They got a calendar that has 7 days in a week. And they say they don't believe that God exists. But here's the source for a 7-day week. So we're going to hear lessons like that during this week in our lectureship. Remember this. If the Bible is right, and Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Bible is right, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then anything that contradicts this teaching cannot be right. God, Christ, the Bible, they all go together. Now, in our day and time, this is a very unpopular position. It is not politically correct. Eastern religions either teach the God of the Bible is not the true God, or they teach it doesn't matter in what form God exists. They do not believe that the Bible is our only guide in religious matters. They have their own sacred texts. They deny Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he rose from the dead in spite of the evidence of the empty tomb. They have their own venerated deities. They do not believe that every person will be judged at the second coming of Christ. Instead, many of them believe in reincarnation. Even those religious groups who believe the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, etc., do not have all of the characteristics of the church Jesus built, and therefore are not approved by God. To receive the blessings of God, we must obey all of his will. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The religion of Christ is far superior to any other religion in the world, because it offers forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. It is far superior because it is open to all people. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. God's plan for salvation is easy to understand and follow. Acts 17, 30. Speaking of the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 2:15, study or giving diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only hope this world has is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Cafeteria religion is not from God. We need to buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23, 23. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Well, why is it then in 2011 that we have trouble reaching people with the gospel of Christ? One of the reasons is because of intangibles. Just as people could not envision the coming of the flood in Noah's day, people today cannot envision the coming judgment. People had never seen a flood in Genesis chapter 6. They didn't know what rain was. So Noah's telling them, you better get in the ark because the world is going to be destroyed by a flood. I can't see it, Noah. I can't grasp it. Can't hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it, or see it. We talk to people about heaven and hell in the 21st century. I can't see heaven. I can't see hell. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't taste it. I can't hear it. I can't smell it. Therefore, I don't believe in it. Those are intangibles. Now, if Mark 16, 16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive, I used to say $1 million. That's not enough anymore. Changed it to $1 billion. Now we have to say $1 trillion to get people's attention. He that believeth and is baptized shall receive $1 trillion. Anybody having trouble understanding that? If Mark 16, 16 said that, we'd have to have somebody here at the building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because people would be here to be baptized, get their money. Even if it just said, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive a brand new automobile, that would be enough for most people to come and be baptized. They could understand that. But when it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, oh, I can't understand that. That's too difficult. We must continue to help people who have good and honest hearts to understand the way to heaven. Hearing God's word, believing it with all of our heart, recognizing because of our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing it and accepting it, recognizing that we are in sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we transgress God's law, we are sinners. And because we love God and love Christ, John 14:15, we are then willing to repent of our sins, to get out of the sinning business, to change our mind in regard to sin. And then, using our mouth to confess Christ, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, just as the eunuch did. In Acts 8:37, Philip said to him, what? He said, if thou believest with part of thine heart, thou mayest. Now, he didn't say that. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, right back to the beginning of our lesson, commitment to Christ. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so Philip baptized the eunuch, and other examples and accounts of conversion in the book of Acts help us to understand that we are baptized, immersed in water, so that our sins can be washed away by the blood of Christ. We rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And then we live one day at a time, putting the Lord first in our lives, living as faithful children of God. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, why not take advantage of the wonderful salvation available to all people today by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ? Or if you're a member of the Lord's body, and the life that you've been living, instead of bringing glory to God, Matthew 5:16, has been bringing shame and reproach upon the Lord's body. If that's the case, why not come back tonight? Make those things right. Begin tonight getting ready for the Lord's day tomorrow to worship God in spirit and in truth. To determine from this day onward, one day at a time, living for God, and having the hope of eternal life. If we can assist you, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing.